ready for a new you? Anybody ready for a new you? Come on, anybody else want a new you? How many said the old me is just fine? Anybody like that? Okay, at least got one honest guy back here. Okay, great. You know, we are in this new series called, we started last week, called A New You. So ask your neighbor, say, are you ready for a new me? Now ask, say, are you ready for a new you? We are entering into a season where we're saying, God, change us from the inside out. Last week we started this series, we looked what Paul had to say to us when he said in Colossians 3 that we are to put on the new nature. Now, I explained to you last week that everywhere we see in Scripture, there's this word new that God has when it comes to explaining our relationship with Him. The things that He gives His children, He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new spirit. He gives us a new covenant. He gives us a new morning. He gives us a new day. He gives us all these new things that God has for us. And Paul said that we must put on our new nature. That's what he said. He said, when you get up, man, put on your new nature so that we can be renewed as we become more like the one who created us. Now, it's a choice, right? As Christians, when we receive Christ's work of the cross, that we receive, the scripture we talked about last week says that our new has begun. The new life has begun. Notice that word begun means it's starting. It's a journey. It's not completed. It's a progress. And so 2016, you should look at yourself in the mirror. Every one of us here should look at ourselves in the mirror and say, what am I doing this year? Have I grown this year? I don't compare myself to the person sitting next to me. I don't compare myself with you, and you don't compare yourself with me. But instead, I have to be man enough, woman enough, to look in the mirror and say, what have I done this year to grow? Have I grown deeper in God this year? Because what we see happening here is we don't do spiritual disciplines in our life to get God to love us anymore. We don't do spiritual disciplines in our life to get God to love us anymore. We don't become more saved. The more spiritual disciplines we do in our life, we don't become more saved, okay? You're either saved or you're not. You're either in Christ or you're not. But what we have is not whether people are saved or not. It's whether are you mature or immature. Because the church is full of people who have accepted the work of the cross and are in a relationship with Christ. Now the question becomes, are you mature or are you immature? And see, spiritual disciplines begin to mature us. And you should be maturing. I expect you to mature this year. Spiritually, I expect you to mature. Just as I expect my children, and now I've got a bunch of teenagers in the house, just as I expect them to make mistakes, they're probably going to make some mistakes, just like your kids this year. But I also expect them to have seasons of maturing and handling more responsibility, doing things differently. I expect that. We all expect our children to mature. The same thing should be for our own life. We should expect ourselves to mature. Not that we won't have a mistake or make mistakes along the way, but I should have seasons of maturing and say, I am growing. Where I'm at next year at this time, I should be able to look in the mirror and say, have I grown? And say, answer that question, yes, I have. I have spiritually matured in different areas of my life. It's a process. It's a journey. We're never complete. I'm still maturing. I'm still maturing. You're maturing spiritually. And so we're learning this process, a new you. Now, we are in the middle of a thing we're starting tomorrow. Tomorrow, we are starting the 21-day challenge. We're starting the 21-day challenge tomorrow. And this is what we are going to do today. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, why do we need a 21-day challenge? I want to answer this for you, and I'm going to relate some of this to how God changes us new. And then next week, I'm going to begin to talk about certain things, tangible things on the inside that God changes us from the inside out. But today, in order for you to be a new you, I believe that there's a 21-day challenge is necessary. And let me explain it to you this way. As we talk about the 21-day challenge, what is the 21-day challenge, first of all? It's what we've asked starting tomorrow, Monday morning, as a church, for as many people who want to join us, we're asking you to pick a fast that will challenge you. That can be a certain types of food. It can be social media. It can be some people give up TV. I know people who've given up caffeine. I know there's people in this room who've given up tobacco. They give up tobacco, and it helped launch them. And they're, today, they're still tobacco-free because they used that fast to launch them getting rid of the tobacco. What is it? Pick a fast that should challenge you. If you don't like green beans, don't make green beans your fast, okay? It should be something that challenges you. I'm fasting peas for the next 21 days. Well, you wouldn't have peas anyway. You know, pick something that you enjoy. Pick something that you like and fast that thing for 21 days. We're asking that every one of us, as much as possible, will read one chapter a day. If you've never read the Bible before, I listed some of the books you may want to read. Psalms and Proverbs got some really short chapters in there. If you're time crunched and say, I just want to, it's got a couple of minutes here, you can read some of these chapters in just 60 seconds. They're really small, okay? Matthew, Luke, Romans are some great places to start if you've never read the Bible before. But you're welcome to read any chapter of the Bible that you would like to. And then also we're asking you to spend time in prayer every day. I'm not asking you to spend a long time in prayer, just asking you to put your heart toward prayer every day, that you're praying to God, communicating to God. Sometimes that may happen when no one's up. It may happen when everybody's in bed. It may happen alone at lunchtime in your car. It may happen while you're traveling back and forth to work. But I want you to spend some time in prayer. But if you do choose to spend time in prayer in your car, please, if you're driving, open your eyes, okay? That's all I ask. Don't hold me liable. I was praying, and bam, you know. Don't. Okay, and then also I'm asking you to listen to only worship and Christian music when you normally listen to the radio or music. I'm asking you to take 21 days and just say, you know what, when I would normally listen maybe to talk radio or listen to some other workout music or getting ready in the morning show, I'm going to take 21 days. I'm just going to begin to put some spiritual music in my heart, in my mind, so I can get my focus back where God wants me to be. I believe that the church today, you know, we let everybody else challenge us, don't we? I mean, if someone come up and say, I'll give you 21 days to change the way you look, or 21 days to change this relationship, or 21 days to get out of poverty, 21 days, and people like being challenged. But I think it's a sad story when the only people who challenge us is the world. I think that the church needs to be challenged. I need to be challenged. You need to be challenged. And so that's why we're calling it the 21-day challenge, because I believe and I see the great things that God in you, and I'm trying to challenge you to step up, take a hold, and say, yes, God's got something greater. He's got a new me. He's got something greater he wants to do in my life this year. And so I believe we need to challenge each other and say, hey, let's do this. Let's take some spiritual disciplines in our life, and for a corporate church body, we're going to come together. See, when the majority of people come together, when the majority of a church will come together and say, yes, God, we're going to begin to pray again. Yes, God, we're going to get back into your word. Yes, God, we're going to begin to worship you with an abandoned heart. We're going to begin to focus our mind upon you. We're going to set our mind during the week upon you. When we have the majority of these things happening, a spiritual awakening can begin to take place. That's what happens when a majority says yes to the vision of God. When the majority says yes to the kingdom of God. When the majority says yes, I'll give. You see, far too long, we see a stat that's given across the church world, in the U.S. especially. We see this stat given. It's just a general stat they give out. I've been to several pastor conferences and leadership conferences, and this same stat's given across the board in churches across America, is that 20% of the people in our churches do 100% of the work and embrace 100% of the vision. Now, I can tell you this at Destiny Church, that number is a lot higher for us. So, amen. Thank you. Give yourself a hand. I thank you that you guys are buying in and you're spiritually invested. But we can see improvement. We can all improve. And when the majority of us say, yes, I'm taking a 21-day challenge, the majority of us are praying together and we're worshiping together and we're reading the word of the Lord together, we're getting our mind focused in back to where we need to be, then we can see a true spiritual awakening happening in our midst. We're refocusing. You've heard me use the term, we put God back at the top and pinnacle. That's why we're doing the 21-day challenge, is that we're putting God back at the top. But if you've heard me teach over the last several years, you know that that's not just what I'm talking about. Because I teach here that not only do we put God back at the top, but God should be mixed in with everything we do. If we only put God at the top and then we live our life how we want to down here, then we've missed the boat, okay? Putting God back at the top, and then we let that funnel through everything that we have. God, you're the top of my life. You're the top in my marriage. You're the top in my finances. You're the top in my relationship. You're the top in my work. You're the top in my vision. God, you're the top of everything. You are mixed in everything I do. That's what I'm learning to do. And this is what the 21-day challenge can do for us, is allow us to refocus, getting ourselves set up to say, God, we're praying, putting ourselves back into the place you want us to be. Praying, spending time, communicating, worshiping, hearing the voice of the Lord. So this is a challenge I want to give to you. Stop asking God. When you're prayer, we're praying, see, stop asking God to change our world and start asking him to change us. Think about that. Stop asking God to change our world and start asking him to change us. See, the immature believer, he says, God, change the world around me. God, change my world. Change my spouse. Change my boss. Change my finances. Change my community. Change my leaders. And there's nothing wrong for praying for those people. But my first prayer should always be, God, change me first. Change me first, God. See, when I deal with people that I'm counseling with, if I'm counseling a couple, if they both can't say together, hey, we both have things we need to work on that I need to change, even if one person maybe has done something really bad, but even when we come in together, we say, you know what, all of us here have things we need to work on. And if you can't admit that, then I can't help you. Because true change happens when everyone admits, you know what, there's some things in my life I need to change. And so when we pray this prayer, God, change me, and then, you know, everything we want to do is like, no, God, change the world, change this person, change this leader, and we're mad about everything, and we're praying for everybody else. No, see, that's the immature. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying prayers. The Bible is very clear about praying specifically about the things that you desire, about praying for things you want loose and strongholds to come down. God's very clear about that, saying there's a place for that. But the first thing we should do is say, God, change me first. Change me. See, that's what the mature person does. You want to change? You want to see a new you? Quit praying everything about everybody else and begin to pray with me first. God, change me. God, humble me. God, change my attitude. God, change the way I react. God, change my desires. God, change my pride. God, change what I want and help me to get myself in the right spot. If the church will rise up and be what God has called us to be, we will change our community. I don't pray, God, change our community. I say, God, change our church. Are you hearing me? I don't say, God, change our community. I say, God, change our church. And it starts with saying, God, you change me. Because if you will change and I will change, then when we leave here, we will see a community transformed by the power and grace of what God wants to do. How do you think he wants to transform the community? Through you and I. God, I'm praying to change our community. And bam, there it is. Oh, I don't know what happened. The lightning hit. Now, suddenly, everybody got up and they're acting right. No, it's when I get up and say, boom, something hit on the inside of me. God wants to change the way I'm acting. He wants to change some selfish things I've got in my life, and I've got to quit being so self-centered, self-focused, full of pride, thinking I've got all the answers and worried about just myself, and I need to begin to put on the eyes of God and say, God, teach me to see things the way you see. And if I will do that, and you'll do that. Think about the transformation that can happen with those we see every day in our life. Those we're rubbing elbows with every day in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, our families. This is where true transformation will take place. But it takes a new person to do that. Because the old you will struggle with some of those things. And we'll get to them a little bit later in this series. Say, so you're not getting away from that. We're going to come back to that later on. Let's get right to our topic today and our first story in Mark chapter 9. I love this story. We see the story in 9. We're going to pick it up in verse 20 here in just a second. But Jesus and a handful of his disciples, he had taken up, and he just had this glorious thing that happened up in, well, God showed himself, and it was this really spiritual high situation that happened. And they're coming down off the mountain, and they get down off the mountain, and Jesus is kind of the last one coming up, and there's this young man down there who's throwing himself in a fire. The demonic spirit's overtaking him. He's rolling in the fire. He's foaming at the mouth. All these things are happening. The disciples are praying for him. Nothing's happening. Let's pick up the story in verse 20. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. First of all, let me say this, that when you are carrying Jesus in you on a new way, when the 21-day challenge happens and the spirit of God is fresh and alive in you, and you get around certain spirits, they're going to act out, okay? Just be ready for that, okay? It's just your fair warning. Things are going to happen, okay? It says that he fell on the ground, he rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? And he answered, from childhood. It has often thrown him into the fire and water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. I love Jesus' response here. Say what? That's what he said. Say what? If you can. That's what Jesus said. Did you just ask me if I can? I love that. If you can. And Jesus said, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately the boy's father examined, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. And look at the rest of the story. He says, when Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene. Isn't this great? Because the crowd always runs to the scene. We have spectators everywhere. People run to spectate when there's a train crash. When things are happening, people are running to spectate. But we gotta move beyond that. We gotta be people who walk in and make a difference. See, Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene. He rebuked the impure spirit. He said, you deaf and mute spirit. He said, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked. The boy convulsed him violently and it came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, Jesus killed him. He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet. He stood up. After this, Jesus had gone indoors. After this all happened, Jesus goes inside with his disciples, and they asked him privately, why couldn't we drive out the spirit? And look what Jesus answered. He replied, this kind can come out only by what? Prayer and fasting. This kind of power, this kind of transformation, this kind of stronghold being broken in people's lives can only come out through prayer and fasting. This is why we are taking 21 days to reposition ourselves into a spirit, a mind, a heart spirit, our mind spirit, everything about us, about getting back to prayer and fasting. See, this boy's needs was greater than the disciples' power. His needs were greater than the power they had. They were operating in at that time. But this story is not about the boy. This story is not about the demonic spirit, about good versus evil. Listen, anytime Jesus shows up, he's going to win, okay? That's a non-issue, okay? The spirit has no chance. Scripture says that every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. This is not an issue. Jesus shows up, he always wins. So the issue is not really about the struggle. It's not even about the boy. And it's really not even about the father learning to believe. I believe the real issue of this story has to do with Jesus understood that his time here on earth was coming to an end. He was training his disciples on the mentality they had when it came to facing people with strongholds. And he was trying to teach and implement and really emphasize strongly that if you want to see the power of strongholds broken in people's lives that you come in contact with, it's going to take some extra prayer and fasting. Now, I believe today that we walk in a spiritual authority that we never tap into. I believe today that we have been given all authority. And as believers, we're learning that authority. As believers, we're learning that spiritual identity and power that God has given every believer. But sometimes we just kind of go through the motions, don't we? Sometimes we just think, if I just show up, it's okay, you know? I just show up and God's going to do this and God's going to do that. That's okay for certain times and certain seasons. But sometimes when you have a stronghold that's not being broken, it's going to take some extra prayer. It's going to take some extra season of denying yourself and saying, God, we need a breakthrough in this area. And he says this kind of transformation will happen through prayer and fasting. So how do we do this? Because I believe that God has Destiny Church positioned for a reason, that people are walking in the midst of our church, in our services, that have strongholds that they need to be delivered from. And if we are not spending proper time in prayer and fasting, we'll not see strongholds broken in people's lives. I believe when we come together and the majority say, we're going to pray, we're going to fast, we're going to set our mind on the kingdom of God and pray the prayer, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And we begin to deny ourselves and say, God, we want what you have first. That when people come into this room, if they leave here with strongholds, it's only because they are choosing to walk out of here the same, not because they have to. Because if they want to be free, the Spirit of the living God is alive in this place, setting people free, transforming people. And that comes when we say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to see that happen in our midst. So how do we respond differently than the disciples responded? We must, first of all, we must make prayer our number one priority. As believers, we must make prayer our number one priority. You say, why would you say that, Pastor? Isn't there other things we need to do as a church first? Isn't there things, how about helping the poor or loving our neighbor? Why is it important? Well, look what Jesus said in Matthew 21:13. And he said to them, it's written, my house shall be called a house of what? A house of blues, right? No. Making sure you're listening today. My house shall be called a house of? My house shall be called a house of prayer. See, he was emphasizing something here, that even though great messages are important, good teaching, solid biblical teaching is very important. Even though great worship is important, singing unto the Lord a new song is important. Even though these things are important, the number one priority of the church should be about prayer. That we are positioning ourselves to a house of prayer so that when people are come in who have strongholds in their life, that we are seeing the strongholds loosen in Jesus' name. This should be happening. Otherwise, we're just having a spiritual country club. People are coming in, getting their spiritual fix, or leaving and never transforming and becoming people in the image of Christ. I believe God wants more for my life and for your life. That's why I believe this year we are refocusing some things here at Destiny. We've done a little bit of this last year. We started doing this, and I want to let you know that we're going to even have more emphasis. There's a little over 50 weeks in a year, 52 weeks, and so if we take 10% of that, we're going to take at least, at the very least, five services on a Wednesday night when we do nothing but have worship and prayer focus. I believe God wants us to give 10%. Just the 10% of that we're going to give away and say, God, we're going to at the very least give five, maybe more. We're going to begin to come in. We're going to have nights of worship. We have one coming up on the 20th. And on those nights of worship, we're also going to have nights of prayer focus right there with that. And so we're going to have certain times during those worship events where we have prayer for certain things, seeing strongholds loose, crying out to God, where we're crying out to God not only in worship and song and in praise, but also crying out to the Lord in prayer. And so this is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to get on board and to join us. This is very important. If you can attend these Wednesday nights when we have these big nights of worship and prayer, these are really big about affecting the spiritual climate. Because if we can change, then we'll change the outside around us. Let's quit walking around complaining about everything going on outside these walls, everything we hate, everything. How about we come in and let the love of God change us, let the transformation happen in us so that when we leave, we can see strongholds broken. So we're going to do this. It's happening. The first one's coming up on the 20th. We're going to see more this coming year. See, we've got to stop depending on spiritual giants in our life to break the strongholds that God wants us to break. And what I want to mean by this, I was raised with a generation that everybody chased after spiritual giants. And I was like, you know, if I can just get to this revival, if I can just get to this evangelist, if I can just go to this meeting, then I can have this stronghold broken. My friend's got a stronghold to be broken. Let's go do this and go here, go here, go here. Oh, gotta go here, gotta go here. And listen, it's not that. There's nothing wrong with attending revivals. Go to as many revivals as you can. Go to as many conferences as you can. Sit under great teaching if you can. I do this all the time, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes down to it, is God wants to work in your life just as much as he does my life or anybody else on the platform. You say, this is the reason why when we had Destiny Church, we had people lined up, prayer partners along the sides of the auditorium to help pray for people, because we are communicating the message to you weekly that God can answer your prayers just as much as he can answer Pastor Gene's prayers. That God wants to do something in you. Quit depending on our pastors. Quit depending on evangelists. Quit depending on someone on TV to be our answer to prayer. And let God transform me. And I have the power to break strongholds with people I'm coming in contact with. This is good today. Because I was raised with a generation who looked for everybody else to do it for them and missed out on the opportunity that God wanted to use their life just as much as anybody else. We've all been given different giftings. Now, everybody's called to stand up on the platform and speak, but everybody is called to have the spirit of transformation in you. That you can tell somebody your testimony, and your testimony can transform somebody's life. That you can take somebody to the hand and say, let's just pray about it right now and see God transform somebody's life. This is what God wants to happen. He wants to change us so that we can change from the inside out, not only physically, not only spiritually, but in the church. If the church will change from the inside, then we'll affect the outside. Oh, come on now. We want to change the outside. Let's go pick at this event. Let's go stand up for here. Let's get this t-shirt. Let's pass this around to be liked 10,000 times. Let the church stand up. No, how about the church be transformed from the inside out? Say, God, once again, we are nothing without you. God, we need you above and beyond anything else. Above lights, above great sound, above great music, above good teaching, above any good eloquent abilities. God, we need you above anything else. We need you to change us from the inside out. That's what we really need. And if we'll allow God to change us from the inside out, the other things will come into place according to God's plan and will. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, Pastor Gene ate the spiritual Wheaties today. God wants to give you the same power. Look at this. Don't stop. Don't pray. When you pray, don't pray so that I can get God to do what I want him to do. Prayer is me aligning my heart with what God wants to do. See, this is the difference between the immature and the mature. The immature person, I pray to get God to do what I want. The mature person who's changing from the inside out, the new you, says, no, God, I'm praying that my heart would align with your heart. God, I've got a lot of desires. God, I've got a lot of vision. God, I've got a lot of things I need to change in my life. But first of all, I pray that, God, you change me. Help me to carry your heart. God, help me to carry your heart. Help me to see things the way you see. See, when my heart changes, then the things around me change. Then I can begin to say, God, I got your heart now. God, help me to see my marriage become stronger. God, help me to be a better husband so that my wife becomes even a better wife. God, help me. God, help me. There's nothing wrong with praying for those things very much, naming them out. I believe in that. But it starts right here with me putting myself back and say, God, I want to align myself. I want to align myself with what you want first and foremost. See, we are to seek out his kingdom first. We must seek first his kingdom. This is the new you. You want to change from the inside out. The old you sought your kingdom first. The old me wanted to build Gene's kingdom and wanted to do everything to build Gene's kingdom. But the new me says, no, God, I want to seek your kingdom. I want to build your kingdom over my name. I want to build your kingdom over my own personal kingdom. Whatever that looks like, God, I want to build your kingdom first. That's why he says in Matthew 6:33 that we are to seek. Jesus says, seek what? Seek last? Seek where? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Now, Jesus said this statement in the middle while he was teaching on prayer. He was teaching on fasting. He was teaching. They were asking about, all right, we got to do all this stuff for the kingdom. How are we going to live? How are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What's the clothes we're going to have? How are we going to make money? People were asking these questions, and Jesus answered this simple question right here. He says, just put me first. Seek first God's kingdom, then the rest of the things will fall into alignment. And I can tell you here, this church is full of people who have learned this principle. They struggled for years trying to find the will of God for their life. And when they begin to say, all right, God, I give up trying to control my own destiny. God, we're going to learn to put you first in our life, in our family, in our marriage. Begin to serve you faithfully and put the kingdom of God first. And then the other things fall into place. I had dinner with somebody the other night, and they said, Pastor Gene, after we started coming to destiny and we started putting God first in our life, we've never lived better. Our life has changed. Our marriage has gotten stronger. Our businesses have improved. Our family relations, I've become a better father. I hear these things, all these testimonies all the time from people who are learning to put the kingdom first. It's our first thing we do. See, the new you says, yeah, I'm putting forth the kingdom first. That's where real change is going to happen. See, prayer and fasting help me to seek his kingdom and to place my kingdom into his hands. Seek first, God, I'm going to seek after your kingdom, and I'm putting my kingdom into your hands. You'll take a better, he'll do a lot better job with your kingdom than you will. I can promise you that. He'll do a much better job of managing your kingdom if you'll just place it into his hands. God has a plan for your life to use your life. Do you realize that? God has a plan for every believer in this room. God has a plan for all of our lives, every person in this room. And that plan is this. He wants to use you and I to set the bound and captives free. He wants us to set the people who are bound and captive free. He wants to use you and I to do this. He doesn't want to use some spiritual giant in your life, but he desires for every follower of Christ, every follower of Jesus, he longs for us to walk in the spirit of transformation that we can see people transformed, set loose people's lives. Can I ask you the question, why do we wait to pray about a problem? It's usually our last solution, isn't it? Come on. I've said this before. Have you said it before? Well, I've done everything I know to do. I guess all we can do now is pray. Come on, raise your hand if you've ever said that before. I have. Have you ever said it before? Well, I've done everything I know to do. Now I guess all we can do is pray. Why, as Christians, we are called, prayer should be our first response. When we are facing a challenge, when we're facing direction, when we're facing something, prayer should be our number one thing, seeking the kingdom of God first. God, is this your will? First, should be our first prayer. God, you know what? I'm sick. I'm going to seek after doctor's care, but first of all, God, I place my health into your hands. God, I place that I'm going to walk in wholeness and health. And then after I pray, then I can seek out doctor's advice. I can seek out counselors. I can do those things. God, I am going to give you everything. We should be praying about everything first. The spirit of prayer should be the first thing we turn to. Prayer doesn't cost you time. That's what people think here today. See, prayer doesn't cost you time, it saves you time. Prayer doesn't cost you time, it saves you time. Well, Pastor, I would pray more, but I just don't have time. I get all this going on, my schedule, I know I need to pray more, but I just don't have time. I don't have time, on time, on time. And let me tell you, you don't have time not to pray. Because if you would learn, how many times have you prayed about something, God did something, worked it out, and you said, boy, I wish I'd have done that first. I would have saved myself a lot of headache. I would have saved myself a lot of time worrying. I would have saved myself a lot of time if I just would have turned it over to God first. We've been there. I've done it, been there. You've been there. Why? We should be the first thing we do is turn to prayer as our number one thing. When I'm thinking, God, should I take this job? Or should I decline this job? Let me pray about it first. I've been offered a promotion at work, making a lot more money. God, let me pray about it. I've met people who said that, man, I took the promotion, more money, more pay, more money, more pay. It must have been God. They didn't take time to pray about it. And then a year later, they're thinking, why is my marriage falling apart? Because I can't have no time to spend with my wife. My children don't want anything to do with me because I've spent all this time working. And I've been able to neglect. Was the money worth it? No. I wish I'd just waited. It wasn't the right season for that promotion. I wish I'd have waited because I can't afford. What would happen if we just pray about it first? God, is this really the right plan for me? Is this really your right desire? How about, God, is this really the person you want me to ask out? Or how about this? God, is this really the person I need to say yes to on this date? Some of you girls here, some of you guys here, you know what I'm talking about. Singles, you're like, you know, well, he asked me out and he's got a job. So it must be God. Nowadays, I understand that statement. So I understand you, to applaud you. He's got a job. And you want me to say no? How about you just say, God, is this the right one? Instead of getting into relationship after relationship after relationship, getting your heart broke, getting your spirit crushed, going through all the baggage that goes along with it, how about we just say, God, is this the right one or not? If not, just give me confirmation. And I'll say, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more, no more. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. You're done. You know, how about we pray? God, is this your will? Learn to put God first, asking prayer first. God, is this your will? God, is this your will? God, is this your will? And then I do what I know to do best. Then I do the spiritual things I've learned. And then I use the wisdom God's given me. And then I try to make the best decisions possible. But I ask God first. God, is this your will? God, lead me. God, show me this. Pray first. Now let's answer the question. Why should we fast for 21 days? Why is it important? Number one, because it teaches us the spiritual discipline of denying ourselves. Fasting teaches us the spiritual discipline of denying ourselves. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus made the very true statement that whoever wants to be his follower, whoever wants to be his disciple, must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow after him. It's spiritual discipline 101, okay? This is spiritual lesson 101 for every believer, that we learn the discipline of denying ourselves. And so the fasting, not only is it making room, but it's also saying, God, I'm denying myself something I want to let you know that I'm serious about this next season of my life. It's a spiritual discipline that God wants us to operate in. It's also so that we can be involved in the mess, so that we can get involved in the mess and pick people up. You see, when Jesus went down the hill, everybody was running to the scene, right? This little boy is going crazy. He's foaming at the mouth. He's acting up, having convulsions. Kind of sounds like my trip in Walmart, standing in line sometimes. Some of the kids next to me, and they're going crazy. I want to say, in the name of Jesus, come out of that little boy. Straighten up and mind your mama in Jesus' name. That's what I want to do sometimes, but I don't. Okay. Come on, you know exactly what I'm talking about. My kids sitting there out there. This is not what I'm talking about, okay? This is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this. When things begin to happen, people run to the scene, don't they? Look at this mess. Let's go all go over here to see this. Let's go see this mess. Let's see how they blew it. Let's see how this demonic spirit is working out over here. Let's go over here and do this, do that, do this, and do that. And everybody runs to that mess. But see, Jesus didn't just run to the mess to observe. But Jesus ran to the mess and got right in the middle of the mess and reached out his hand to the little boy and to the father and set the little boy free. He transformed him. And Jesus wants to use you and I. He wants to use you and I, not just to run to the scene, but he wants you and I to have the heart that when we walk right into somebody's mess and look right at them and grab them by the hand and say, there is a better way. God has not forgotten you. In the name of Jesus, I pray over you, saying, get up and walk. Spiritually, you've been crippled. Get up and walk. God wants to use you and I to change people's messes. So when I fast in the 21-day challenge, it helps me to get back to that emphasis. So I'm willing to walk and pick somebody else up. I'm not afraid to get messy. And the last thing, so that we can see God. We can see God make possible what seems impossible. And everybody else is around saying, we tried this, tried that, tried this, tried that, and nothing's working. You can say, but how about try my God? And God can make possible what seemed impossible. Our God loves doing this principle. He loves taking the things that seem impossible and making them possible. Some of you, you're here and you're visiting for the first time today. They say, Pastor, inside my heart, inside my life, there's a lot of things that seem impossible. A lot of things I need fixed in my life. I'm here to tell you today, you're in the right spot. Because you are coming today and you're going to have an encounter with a God who wants to transform your life. He wants to drop the strongholds in your life that have been kept you down, who weighted you down. And today he wants to set you free. That you can walk free and you can experience the new life that we're talking about. A new you. I want you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I ask a simple question today, but yet it's the most important question you'll ever be asked in your life. The question is, today, are you ready today to accept the work of the cross? Are you ready to accept the work of the cross and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus, this work of grace in my life. I never confessed him as Lord of my life. I never accepted his forgiveness into my life, made him Lord of my life. Today, we won't do anything to embarrass you. We're not going to point you out or single you out. But with nobody looking, I just want to give you a chance to respond. So today, I'm ready to put God first in my life. I'm ready to confess him as Lord of my life. If you've never done it before, can you just raise your hand and say, I'm ready to do that? If that's you, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else, say, that's me. Raise your hand if that's you. Say, that's me. Thank you. If you haven't raised it yet, today's your day. Raise it and say, Pastor, that's me. Today, I'm ready to confess Jesus as my Lord. This is what's going to happen. We're going to say this prayer together. If you raised your hand, I want you to say it out loud. And as Christians around you, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along, okay? Say, Dear Jesus, I confess all of my sin before you. I accept your forgiveness that comes through the grace of your cross. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I surrender my life to you. I will follow after you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Take your first step today. Amen. I'm excited. Now listen today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you must have a church home. You need one, okay? You can't do this thing on your own. It's the start of a new journey. So if you have a church home, go back and tell somebody. Say, man, I made a decision today to be a Christ follower. Help me. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here to love you and help you on your journey. When you leave today, we'll have a free Bible for you back at our Welcome Center. If you'd like to stop and receive that, just our special gift to let you know that we're excited for this new journey with you. Inside it, it's got some steps, some things we want to give you, what you need to do next on your new journey. How many today say, Pastor, I'm taking the 21-day challenge. I'm doing it. Anybody here? This is more than the majority. See, things can happen when more than the majority happens. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. This is what we're saying. God, today, help me to focus on being my kingdom first. Help me to focus on this 21 days of transforming, of taking my kingdom first and making it all about your kingdom. Help me to change my heart. Help me to change from the inside out, where I seek first your kingdom and place my kingdom into your hands. Listen, there's power in prayer. There's power in fasting. Let's declare it through our song today. There's power in Jesus' name.
Y'all ready to worship this morning? Come on, lift up your hands as we declare it. There's power in the name of Jesus. Come on.
There is power
in the name
of Jesus.
Come on, let's receive that word today. There's power
in the name of Jesus.
God, there's so much power in your name.
Power.
Come on, let's lift it up.
Power.
okay? I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every person in this room today that, God, as we enter into a new season, tomorrow starts a 21-day challenge. I pray that the Spirit of the Holy Spirit would be upon them, that, God, there would be transformation happening in the mind, in the heart, and from the inside out. As we begin to deny ourselves, I pray for supernatural strength as they get a hunger pains or they start craving things and they have a hard time. I pray that, Father, you will give them the power for to walk this thing out. And God, you will be with them all along in this journey. That, God, we're going to refocus ourselves in prayer and fasting, praying that a new us would happen from the inside out. God, we're putting you back first in our life, and we say amen. Put your hands together one more time. You got a hand clap? Now listen to me. I want to tell you something before you leave today. It's a full house today. We're pretty full in the first service, but there is a little more room in the first service. Not a lot, a little bit more room. So some of you may want to think about coming to the first service if you don't really care whether you come at 9 o'clock. I can tell you this, when you come at 9 o'clock, you always get out by 10:30 because I have to have you out. So that's a plus. But number two, we're going to bring out some extra chairs next week and put them all on the sides in the overflow, okay? So listen, when God's doing something, you're going to have to fight to get a seat at times. Sometimes it's going to take you a little longer to find a parking place. Those things are going to happen. But how many know when God's in the house, it's worth it, okay? God's doing something that's great. Stick with us. Don't allow the enemy to tell you, oh, it's too crowded there. It's just going on. No, you break through that. You fight through that. And you let God do this season in your life what he wants to do. God bless you. We love you. You guys have a great, great week.